John 10, 1 through 30. The Lord Jesus speaking, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Now, throughout the Bible, God uses the analogy of the shepherd when speaking about his people. There were various shepherds that were appointed to care for God's people throughout time. But there have been individuals throughout all generations who proclaim to be the leaders or shepherds of God's children, but they're actually thieves and murderers, strangers and hirelings. And some of the examples of the shepherds, though, that were good shepherds, we could say, such as David, and you have Moses, you know, those were all shepherds. That's what their occupation was, and God used them then in turn to shepherd his people. But you do have these self-proclaimed leaders or false messiahs that come proclaiming salvation and hope and security and peace through various methodologies, strange philosophies, strange doctrines, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, as the New Testament says. But instead of bringing salvation, peace, and hope to God's people, to God's sheep, these evil shepherds, they come to intentionally do harm to the sheep. They come to ravage the sheep. They scattered the sheep. And instead of caring for God's children, they fed their own bellies. They cared for themselves. And these are the enemies of God. These are the enemies of the cross, the enemies of Christ. And they seek to exalt themselves above all others for their own benefit, without regard to God's sheep. Well, in Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 6, God says, through the prophet Ezekiel, he says, "Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." So these are the evil shepherds God's talking about, and he's cursing them. These are the evil shepherds of Israel, and they were called, though, to protect and care for the flock of God. But instead, they fed their own bellies, and they left the sheep to fend for themselves. Scattered and helpless, sheep without a shepherd. God's people need a shepherd to care for them, to provide and protect and preserve them. Well, if you work through this chapter, 34, Ezekiel chapter 34, you see that God promises to send a shepherd. In verse 23 of Ezekiel 34, God promises he's going to raise up a shepherd to care for his sheep. God says, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." So Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy, also mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jesus is the good shepherd. And God's people, God's elect children, are his sheep. They're the sheep of his pasture. So with this in mind, let us look at the text in John chapter 10. The theme of the chapter is election. That's the theme of the chapter. The good shepherd's sheep are eternally secure. The good shepherd's sheep are eternally secure. So the outline for this sermon, so you can follow along, be drawn from that statement. I want us to look at the good shepherd, look at the sheep, look at eternal security under the title, under the heading, the subtitle, eternal security, and then lastly, practical applications, a couple of them. So number one, the good shepherd. You know, how do we recognize them? We just talked about the good shepherd. We talked about the evil shepherds, right? We just had that read for us. So the question is then, how do we recognize the good shepherd? How do we recognize him? And that's the question that Jesus was answering in John chapter 10, in the allegory, verses 1 through 6. He contrasted the good, or what is the most excellent shepherd, with the thief and the robber and the stranger or the hireling. And Jesus is speaking to the Jewish leaders of Israel when he begins speaking. In verse 1, That's who he's speaking to, the Jewish leaders of Israel. And he says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief or a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. So this is an allegory. And most of us are very familiar with this passage. You have the sheep, right? They're in a pen out in the field, although I'm not a shepherd. I've seen sheep, and you have two. And imagine, they're out in the field, right? They're kept there at night. The shepherd comes. He puts his sheep into the pen for the night. He goes into the town. So you have Bill's sheep and Ed's sheep and John's sheep and Joe's sheep. You have all these different, they're their sheep, right? And the shepherd puts them in the pen. He goes in to the town and he stays at night. Well, but the thief or the robber, he doesn't enter the fenced pen by the door, but by other means. The thief or the robber would come to the sheep pen under the shadow of night. He'd come up and then he would climb in over the fence by another way without the gatekeeper's permission. So the false shepherds don't come into the gate by the sheep pen because they're not the true shepherds. The false shepherds, they don't come in that way. The gatekeeper wouldn't allow them to come in. Remember, he's the one who takes the sheep from him and allows the sheep to come into the pen. So he would recognize who the true shepherds are and who are not true shepherds. And that's why they would sneak in another way, these false shepherds. And they're actually, Jesus calls them thieves and robbers and strangers. But the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And that's what Jesus is pointing out. Jesus didn't come sneaking in another way, but he comes to the sheepfold by the door, or in the NIV, the gate. The good shepherd enters through the sheep gate because he's not a thief or a robber or a stranger or a hireling. He's known by the gatekeeper. And the good shepherd knows his own sheep by name, and he leads them and guides them, and he goes before them. He's not a stranger to the sheep. You know, consider what happens. What happens if a child, if a stranger comes up to a child and says, I'm your friend, come with me. Well, what do? They run away, right? They run away from strangers. They're not going to follow a stranger. And it's the same idea here. The sheep would not follow a stranger. They flee from a stranger. They flee and run away. But Jesus isn't a stranger. His sheep know him. They hear his voice, and then they follow him. They are his sheep, and he owns them. He knows them, and they follow him. Now consider how many times over the years, as some of us were seeking truth, and we'd hear these other voices calling us, maybe to the Seventh-day Adventists or to the Mormon church or this route or that route. You'd hear all these voices calling you to come this way. This is the way to truth. But you didn't follow that way. But the Lord, he moved you to flee from that voice you were hearing. That was a stranger. Jesus doesn't come to the gate by the shadow of night, but openly calling his sheep by name. You know, when he walked by Levi, he says, come, Levi. And what did Levi do? He called him by name, and Levi got up and he followed Jesus, didn't he? What happened when Jesus was walking by Andrew and Simon Peter? Come, follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they got up immediately and they followed Jesus Christ. The same thing with James and John. They're sitting in the boat with their father. They left their nets, they left the boat, they left their dad, and they followed the good shepherd. They heard him and they followed him immediately. Well, he knows his sheep by name, and they hear him and they follow him. The Jewish leaders and the Pharisees, they're the false shepherds of Jesus' day. And this is who he was speaking to here. And they were leading people away from Christ and the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The good shepherd came to protect and to preserve and to provide for the sheep, which is contrary to the way of the thief and the robber. The thief and the robber, they came to steal and to kill and destroy. That's what Jesus says. The false shepherds are thieves and robbers, and they don't come to care for the flock, but instead they come to steal from the sheep and to serve themselves. But the Son of Man, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life, a ransom for many. Jesus came so that God's elect children may have life, and life more abundantly. He came to lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the long-awaited for Messiah, the shepherd of Israel. He's the only way, truth, and life, isn't he? There's no other Messiah. All who came before him and all that came after him are false messiahs. They're thieves and robbers. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. He's the only Son of God. There's no other way to find peace with God. There's no other door that leads to eternal life. Jesus is the door, the gate to the sheep, the door to eternal life. In verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. Not one of many doors. He says, I am the, definite article, door. I am the door. There's no other door. He's the door. And if anyone enters by me, he says, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus is the door, and in him and in him alone is eternal life. It's life and life more abundantly in him. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The good shepherd's the only mediator between God and man. He bridges that gap between a holy God and sinful man. He's the door to salvation. He's the door through which we must enter to find refuge from the wrath of God to come upon every unrepentant sinner. That's what the gospel is, isn't it? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that those who believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his own Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He's the door. Well, Jesus says in today's passage, in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The sheep depend fully and completely upon the shepherd to provide for their needs and to protect them from harm. But the hireling does not own the sheep. That's Jesus' point here. The hireling doesn't own the sheep. The hired hand has no vested interest in the sheep. So therefore, the hireling, what does he do when danger comes, when the wolf comes? He flees. That's what he does. He's not going to lay down his life for the sheep. He's not going to die for them. He has no vested interest in them at all. But Jesus is not a hireling. He has proven himself to be the good shepherd. He paid the ultimate price for his sheep. He laid down his life for his own. Now consider, a shepherd might even say that, yeah, I'd be willing to fight for my sheep. But I don't think you would find too many shepherds that would actually die for a single sheep, because that would only lead to the complete loss of the herd and the shepherd's life. There would be no gain there. No gain at all. Jesus, the good shepherd, though, he provides and protects and preserves his sheep, even to the point of laying down his life for his sheep. You know, this he's already done, hasn't he? He laid down his life for the sheep. He died in our place. He actually threw himself into the lion's mouth. He didn't run. He laid down his life for us. He bore our sins and his body upon the cross. He took upon himself the wrath of God that we deserve. Well, Jesus had the authority to lay down his life and take it up again. And to take it up, there's nothing that our God would not do for our salvation, for his elect children. We know that. That's what Romans 8:32 says. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How would he not also with him most fully give us all things, for our secure our souls for everlasting life. You know, he's our God and we are the people of his pasture, his sheep. And Jesus is the good shepherd, and he came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life a ransom for many. So we see the good shepherd and now the sheep. Number two, not every person is one of Christ's sheep. Only those who hear his voice and follow him by faith will profit and benefit from Jesus' life, burial, and resurrection. The good shepherd's sheep know him, and he knows them by name. He calls to us, and we hear him. We not only hear him, but we rejoice to hear his voice. And we joyfully follow our shepherd wherever he leads us. We follow him. Christ's sheep hear his voice and listen to him. And Christ's sheep, they trust in him. And they obey him. Remember what Jesus said to Pilate when he was speaking to him about the question of truth. And Jesus said, "For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And all those who are of the truth will listen to my voice." They'll listen to him. They'll hear him and listen to him. Jesus is not like the thief or the robber or the hireling. He's not a stranger to us, but instead he's a welcoming voice of comfort to all of us who are his sheep, if you are his sheep. Jesus says in verse 14, "I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there'll be one flock and one shepherd." Our relationship to the good shepherd, Jesus says, is similar to the relationship between the Father and the Son. Our relationship to Christ is not, "I know of Christ," but instead it's, "I know Jesus Christ and he knows me. I know my shepherd. I know his voice and he knows me." Christ is precious to us and we are precious in his sight. In Christ, we're family, united together by faith. This is an intimate bond and relationship that transcends all other relationships. We're members of his body, and Christ is the head of his church, and we are his body. The church being made up here, like he says, there'll be one flock, one shepherd. The church is made up of Jews and Gentiles alike. There'll be people from every tribe, every nation, and every tongue. And he knows us and we know him intimately. One flock, one shepherd. Not two, not three, just one. He's the head, we're the body. And we're actually called the bride of Christ, aren't we? We know this very well. We're called the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is a beautiful gift from the Father to the Son. The bride of Christ is a love offering from God to God, from God the Father to God the Son. Jesus says in verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me." My Father who has given them to me. He's greater than anyone. And you know what? This is a thread that runs through the Gospel of John. You may see over in John 6:37, Jesus says, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." And in verse 39 of the same chapter 6, Jesus says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me." And again in John 17:6, "I have manifest your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word." So Jesus Christ's sheep are a gift from the Father to the Son, chosen before the foundations of the world in Christ, rejected by men, but precious in the sight of God. So the covenant of redemption, and you can see the theme of election here. The covenant of redemption from before the foundations of the world stands. All the chosen of God will hear him and follow him. If you are his, then you will hear his voice, and you will follow him. And his voice comforts us. He leads us, and he cares for us, and he provides for us, and he loves us with an everlasting love. This leads us to the last point, eternal security. So we've seen the shepherd, the good shepherd. We've seen the sheep. Not everybody is a sheep, not his sheep. And number three, eternal security. Consider all other leaders or shepherds of God's people are actually under-shepherds. So you have under-shepherds. These under-shepherds are pastors and they're elders and they're ministers of the word, right? Doesn't mean they're not chosen by God. These are the ones that are chosen by God. They're under-shepherds. These are the ones he has gifted to minister the word to his people. And they're caring for God's sheep, but they do that under the oversight and the authority of Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church, and we, his sheep, are the members of his body. So Jesus, he's far superior to any under-shepherd. He's the great shepherd and overseer of our souls. Jesus is God in flesh. He's both God and man, fully God and fully man. And through him, the heavens and the earth were made. And that's what the whole Gospel of John is built upon. And God, in chapter number one, how does he start? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made." And it goes on to say that in 14, verse 14, that, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." And that's what the whole foundation for the Gospel of John is. It's built on Jesus Christ as God. He's far superior to any under-shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's both God and man, and through him the heavens and the earth were created. And Jesus Christ, the God-man, has a gift and a sweet promise. And it is a sweet promise. Even though this is very familiar to you, recognize this is a very sweet, sweet promise. He has a sweet promise for his sheep, to all those who will believe in him, for eternal life. He says in verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." No one will snatch them out of my hand. Did you hear the sweet promise given to us? This is by our Creator. This is by the God who created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it, the God who created all things, the God who sustains all things. It's from Him to us. He says, I, God, Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the great I am. I, the sustainer of the heavens and the earth, I give my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hands. Never. This is a promise or a vow that's given to the bride of Christ. The bridegroom vows to have and to hold and to love and to cherish his bride forever, forever and ever. This is not like a mere man making a vow or a covenant to his bride, because a man is limited and constrained by his ability to keep a promise. Man is temporal and finite. Man is dependent upon God, right? For life and breath and everything. God's not a man, and God is not dependent on anyone. God has always existed. He never changes. His word endures forever. If God makes a promise, then it comes to pass. God doesn't lie. God does not change. He says in his word that I am the Lord, I do not change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So this truth about Jesus Christ being God in flesh, it elevates this sweet promise to a whole new level. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. He's the God-man. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is a promise that we can trust in because it comes from a God who never changes. He never lies, and he never dies. Jesus' deity, it makes this gift of eternal life and eternal security, that promise of eternal security for our souls. It not only makes it sweet, because it is sweet, it's a very sweet promise, but it's sure and it's steadfast. It's on Jesus Christ. That's the rock on which we stand. He's immovable. That's what the promise is built on, Him. Jesus says in verse 29, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now Jesus and the Father are working together in perfect harmony. Perfect harmony. They have the same plan, the same purpose. The triune God works together in harmony for the salvation of God's elect children, those whom He chose before the foundations of the world. And no one can ever snatch us out of their hands. Revelation 14:1 says that the Father's name is written on their foreheads. Those are the ones we're speaking of here, the elect children. No one can ever snatch them out of their hands. You know, we're eternally secure in the hands of the Father and the Son, working together in perfect harmony. We are His sheep, and He's our God, and the triune God holds us securely in His omnipotent, His all-powerful hands. This is the Creator of the heavens and the earth we're talking about, the one who created all things, the one who sustains all things, the one who providentially controls all things. So we can rest in this truth and this promise and be refreshed by it, knowing that our souls are secure in the hands of God Almighty. So we've seen the three: the good shepherd, the sheep, and eternal security. The good shepherd's sheep are eternally secure. Quickly then, practical application. The good shepherd is with you. The Lord, our shepherd, he protects us, he leads us, provides for us, strengthens us, he refreshes us in the way, takes us by the hand, leads us and guides us. Jesus is much more than an earthly shepherd. He's the great shepherd and overseer of our souls. He knows us intimately. God the Father has given or gifted his elect children with the promise of eternal life. And this life, the Bible says, is in his Son. So the mystical bond in Jesus Christ's divine nature enables Jesus, the great shepherd and overseer of our souls, to know us intimately. He not only sees the outward physical ailments and the exterior needs of his flock, such as what we need, right, to eat or drink, to wear for shelter, those things we heard of this morning, so. But he knows intimately our inward. He knows our inward spiritual needs and afflictions. He knows our secret thoughts, our doubts, our fears. He knows what's in the heart of a man. He knows our weaknesses and our strengths, temptations, sinful desires. He knows everything about us. Most intimately. He knows what we need. And then he provides all that we need. He provides the strength we need. He provides the grace we need. Mercy for each and every single circumstance. He provides all we need. And he doesn't drive us. That's not what he does. The good shepherd doesn't drive us. But instead, he gently, kindly, he leads us in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So number two, then, the good shepherd purchased you with his own blood. Number one, he's with you. Number two, the good shepherd purchased you with his own blood. Therefore, we have hope in living, and we have hope in dying. When life seems like a train wreck, think about your week. I think about my week. It seems like a train wreck. It seems like the train went off the tracks. It's nonstop. Just everything's coming at you all the time, right? You feel overloaded. And you don't think you can handle another problem or another day. You just need to stop and you rest. You rest in the sure hope of the salvation of your souls. We need to daily refresh ourselves in the promises of God. Remember that God has saved us and redeemed us through the precious blood of Christ, and he will complete that which he's begun. God, who has begun a good work in us, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a guarantee. That's a promise. We are eternally secure in his hands. So we have hope, and we have peace and security in Christ. Jesus Christ bought his sheep. He bought us with his own blood. He bought us with his own blood. No one can ever pluck us from his hands. That's just something you can really grab a hold of when life seems overwhelming. You can grab on to that promise. That didn't come from a man. This came from Jesus, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He and the Father are one. The sovereign God of the universe has us in his hands. We're secure in his hands, and the one who created and sustains all things, he will never, ever let us go. And when you're tired and you're weary and you can't go on, you've had enough, you can cry out to him and you can tell him that. And the Bible says in Isaiah verse 40, chapter 40, verse 11, it says that he'll gather the lambs in his arms and he'll carry them in his bosom and he'll gently lead those that are with young. So he'll just pick you up and carry you. When you get too tired, he bought you and paid for you with his blood. He will not leave you behind. He's a sweet and loving and gentle shepherd. Closing then, have you put your faith in Christ for eternal life and the forgiveness of your sins and have peace with God? If not, then Jesus calls you, I call you today to do so. You know, the door is open now. The promise of eternal life and peace with God and the forgiveness of your sins, that door is open now. Now it's open, but the time is coming when God's going to close that door just like the door on the ark closed. He closed that door, and then the time for repentance is over. The day is coming when the opportunity to repent and turn to Christ for eternal life will pass away. The door will be closed, and all those who stand outside of Christ will bear the wrath of God for their own sins. God's word declares that the fool rejects Christ as their shepherd. Those who reject Christ as their shepherd, the Bible says, are like sheep that are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. Death is their shepherd. So either you're headed to the celestial city to everlasting life, following the good shepherd, or you're headed to eternal damnation, following the shepherd of death. There's only two ways. So flee, if you haven't, flee from the wrath of God to come upon every unrepentant sinner. Come and take refuge in Jesus Christ. Come today. And Jesus says, that the Bible says, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. None of those. Well, we need to rest in those promises and just come back to those often. Refresh yourself in that promise of eternal life. We're secure in his hands. Nobody's ever going to pluck us out of his hands. Bought and paid for us with his own blood. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word and for these promises that we have here that we can come back to and we can refresh ourselves in them and be encouraged by them. Lord, help these not to become too familiar to us so that we just read right over them and forget that these came from you, that these are not promises that come from a mere man. These are promises that come from the God who created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. These are promises that come from a God who doesn't die, he doesn't lie, he doesn't change. You're from everlasting to everlasting. And when you say something, and when you make a promise, it comes to pass. And so, Lord, help us to refresh ourselves in these, in spite of what we see going on in the world around us, in spite of what we see going on in our lives. Help us to continue to come back and just rest and refresh ourselves in our salvation that's been secured for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.